Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here, and so I'm grateful, thankful to be able to be here to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. And so I'd like to welcome you to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So we thank God that we're here, and it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. For his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The prophet Jeremiah in the third chapter of the book of the Lamentations. So we'd like to welcome our LinkedIn connections, our Facebook friends, our Blog Talk friends, and our Twitter followers, and also our Instagram followers to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So it is a blessing to be here one more time. We want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So thank God for his word, that Apostle Paul was encouraging the saints at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. He always encouraged them throughout these six chapters of the book of Ephesians. Encouraged them, let them know their position, praying for them and giving them nuggets and things they should do and things that they shouldn't do, and letting them know that they were in spiritual warfare at the end. And also, even more important than everything else, he instructed them, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. So it's very important that we pray one for another. And so we could be interceding for someone in another country. We don't know who it is, but it doesn't matter. That's why Paul said it, Spirit, we don't know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so it is the Holy Ghost that is praying through us, the members of the body of Christ, the church of the triumphant church, amen, the invisible church, not the building, but the people of God who have been born again of water and of the Spirit, amen, according to the word of God. And so that is the apostles' doctrine that we're built upon, Ephesians 2 and 20, that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So it's good to be here. We've been not on for a while, but thank God that we are here again with truth on Block Talk Radio. So we had been talking about end time signs. So thank God that we are here and still declaring that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, talking to the people of God. And so the Godhead, he is the God who is the head of all things. And so everybody don't understand his eternal power and Godhead, which is in the book of Romans, which is in the book of Colossians, and in the book of Acts. Three places in the scriptures where you see the term the Godhead. So we are, this is our Only Believe series. We're continuing. So we're in part 17, the end time signs. So we talked about quite a bit of these end time signs, and there, the more you talk, and then so there is even more to still talk about when you talk about the end time signs. And so we want to talk about Antichrist. John said, shall come. So anti, we know that you're opposed to or against. So Antichrist. So John writes in his epistle in 1 John back then that Antichrist shall come. And so in the second chapter, when he's talking about little children, this is the last time have you ever heard, as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. And even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So he's talking about apostate teachers. So apostasy is rejection of revealed truth. And so the some shall depart from the faith. It was one of the end time signs that was given when he wrote to his son Timothy in the Gospels, that some were going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So we did go through quite a bit in Timothy also. So, I mean, but it just ties right in with end time prophecy of 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. So now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. So take note of that. He said the latter times. And so now we are really in the latter times. We never heard of some things that we're hearing about as we do in this day. And so people are talking about, this is your time, this is your season. I mean, we, granted, we did all, that's always been a time and a season for everything in the book Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. That has always been, and we, if everyone is not on the same level. And so it is with children. As you grow up, everybody is at a different level of maturity. Everyone is not the same age. Everyone is not the same spiritual age in the church. So you have people on different levels of maturity. And so, you know, people just, they got to the place where they, Paul was talking about people supposing that gain is godliness, that turn away from them. So he was talking about, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, which that word doctrine is teaching, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes, of words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have. And I'm sure that I have mentioned that before at some times. And so he goes on, we brought nothing into this world, certainly we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So he's not, so the whole point is, it's not saying that you don't try to do better, but you should be thankful for what you have, because some people don't have basic necessity, which is food and clothing and shelter. Everyone don't have that. There's people in the world that don't have that. And so now we're in the time, the so-called, they call prosperity gospel. And so, you know, like, God don't want you to be sick. God don't want you to be poor. Well, everyone is not going to be healed. People have always died of some ailment or another. And I'm reminded of something that I remember a long time ago when I was a teenager that I heard someone say, and it's truth. And that is, as well as you feel, you are sick enough to die. So you don't have to be sick to die, is the point. And so I understand that very well. So we're living in the time when people are making this the gospel is for gain. I mean, people are charging astronomical fees to come. Some preachers are under contract. And I mean, I don't believe God is pleased with that. I mean, sure, someone could be under demand, but to be under contract, you're guaranteed that you're going to get a certain amount to come and to address or be the preacher or to be the teacher or to be the speaker to a congregation of people. I don't believe that that's the way it should be. You know, surely you have received freely, you have received, freely give. So not saying, he didn't say that you weren't worthy of your hire, but I mean, these things people are doing, they are, so in other words, they don't care how many people you got, if they're going to get a certain amount of money. That's where that came from, because it used to be, they knew if you had a goodly amount of, great amount of people, then they would get a good offering. But, I mean, we have to get back to what it's all about, and that is what the gospel is all about. It's about the salvation of souls. It's about strengthening the ones that you have is equally important. You know, that's what the ministry was for. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. So, you know, be matured. So there, I don't care how good one man of God or one woman of God is in the local church, God never designed the church, even the local church, to be perfected by one personality or one individual, but the ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. And so we have to recognize what time we are living in. So we're talking about Antichrist. So we should be saying what he has said in the Holy Scriptures is the whole point. And so we're in that latter times. And so people have, Paul was talking about they're going to depart, some shall depart from the faith. So you had to be in the faith in the very first place to depart from the faith. So giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. So we have heard things, you know, group of people calling themselves the Hebrews and all of the, you know, the black Hebrews and all of this kind of foolishness. You know, they're the only ones. I mean, no. I mean, we understand that even in the world that we live in, the pictures of the images of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he could not have looked like that, because Isaiah said, when we should see him, there should no beauty we desire. So, I mean, you can't look at that when you look at that like him, but you got to look at him as a man in the flesh is what you have to look at. And so it's just, it's awful. And I mean, a lot of people don't like to deal with it, but we need to deal with it, because he didn't come to save skins, but he came to save souls. And this is what Paul said. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, who of whom I am chief. And so he goes on to let us know things, what happened to him and how God blessed him and enabled him, putting him into the ministry. And he was saying, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And he said the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So another part, talking about the grace of God, Titus 2 and 11, he says, for the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope of the great God, and the blessed hope in the appearing of the great God and our Savior. So recognize that we are in the last time. So these are signs. So I remember as being in here since 1976, when all of these people didn't, all of these so-called prophets and prophetess and these apostles and chief apostles and all of this stuff. I mean, they got 20 people or whatever, and they got a chief apostle. I mean, that's ridiculous. But, I mean, it is what it is, and it's a pride thing, really, because the Bible talks about the apostles whom he chose in the first chapter of Acts, that he showed himself alive after his passion and through many infallible proofs, speaking of them pertaining to the kingdom of God. They should not wait, but wait, you know, depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. This is Acts, the first chapter. Luke is writing, and then he says, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he goes on to say, they were come together to ask the question. In Acts 1 and 6, they said, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He says, not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So that's the words of the Lord Jesus. And Luke so eloquently is the scribe there. He is writing what the Lord said. And so that's so very important. So, but now we are living in the time when we can see all of these things happening. So they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And he goes on, for every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused. If it be received with thanksgiving, it is sanctified, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So we are living in that time. So yeah, you can, you don't want to eat meat, you don't have to, but you can't make it a doctrine to damn somebody else because they do, or condemn someone else because they do partake of it. And so this is what people are doing, you know. So the whole point is, I don't care what you eat, you need to bless it and eat it and be thankful, because we're not going to be here in these bodies forever. But James says, what is your life? Is a vapor, it appears for a little while and is vanished away. And so this is a, John is letting, warns the church that Antichrist shall come, even though are there many Antichrists. And so whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So remember, one time in the book of St. John, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he was actually instituting the Lord's Supper or Communion, because he said things in bits and pieces. He actually said things in parables. Now, the book of St. John, he literally said a whole lot of things they didn't really recognize what he was talking about. And then he was saying about Moses gave you that bread, didn't give you that bread, but I am that bread that came down from heaven and give life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So they didn't really understand what he was talking about. He's talking about the spiritual bread. I say unto you, ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me. Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we were taught, paid very close attention to repetition. Jews again murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except my Father, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he said it again. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. And so, as we go on here, should you desire to call in, if you have a question, if you have a comment, you are welcome to call. Our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285 is our call-in number. So he says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So you got to understand what he is talking about. Eating the, communion, eating the bread, which Ezekiel was told to eat the whole roll. So bread is a type of a sustenance, will sustain you, eating bread, receiving bread and meat, as they say. People were sustained, wheat. That's why he said he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So in the book of 55th chapter, Isaiah, so as the rain come down from snow and the snow from heaven, that it make it the earth to bring forth in the bud, that it may he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's not talking about money. That's another thing that they have come up with now. Money was never a seed. A seed is your inheritance. A seed is a literal seed that a farmer plants. And a seed is, Jesus said, the word of God. Seed is never money, never was, and never will be money. So they keep talking about getting a seed in the ground. That is a lie. That is another lie, a doctrine of a devil. You got to plant. So get a seed in the ground. No, the Bible did tell us you reap what you sow. He give and it shall be given to pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. So you reap. Reaping and sowing is a good thing. And so not just money, but your time and your talent also. And so you got to rightly divide the word of God. And so he goes on here, the Jews strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So we were going on here, he that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, as your fathers, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things spake he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. So we got to recognize what he was talking about. Actually, because even he was talking about Abraham rejoiced to see his day, as we go on in the 8th chapter of St. John, the 58th verse, when they were saying, you're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And he went on to let them know, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So you got to understand, he was speaking as the God-man, the man, the God in incarnate when he made that statement. So many, therefore, here's what I wanted to get here to right here, because we're talking about Antichrist. And so John is writing, so this is so many years after, they call it AD. So this is years when John did write after the death of the master, as they put him to death, but he rose again. He's alive forevermore. And so I'm not, they're saying this is AD 35 and 90, probably the latter. So this is like 85 or 90 years, AD 85 or 90, when this was written. And so we go on here, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, thus this offend you. What if you shall see the Son of what? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. And then he goes on, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So remember, all of these people. So Jesus turned and said unto the 12, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Jesus answered them, have not I, and he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And so they didn't go no more, they didn't walk any more with him, those disciples. They were against, opposed, anti-Christ. They didn't walk with him no more. And so John does a lot of writing in our, because we always have said over the years that the end time signs were in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, in the book of Mark, the 13th chapter, in the book of Luke, the 17th chapter, in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter. And, you know, and I remember saying, yeah, John didn't write about end times, but yes, he did. He wrote in his epistles about end times. And so he was saying but they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us, but you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, that no lie is of the truth. And so, who is a liar, he says, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So there are people, they don't understand the oneness. They don't have the revelation of the oneness. There's no triune God. There's no Holy Trinity. That is a dirty lie that came from the pit of hell. James 2 and 19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. So there is only one God. So there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So you got to know it. So you shouldn't be going out calling yourself pastoring people and you don't know what you're talking about. So they laid their hands on people and ordained people. Even during the earthly ministry of Jesus, people were ordained that they should be with him. So you can't go out, you can't be an ambassador for another nation and represent a certain country or nation and don't know what you're talking about. So that's why Paul said, we then are ambassadors for Christ. So God did beseech you by us, said, be reconciled to God. He has made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You can't represent somebody you don't know what you're talking about. So you got to know the word. So the word of God is truth, and you got to know who he is. And so you don't know who the Son of God is. You don't understand his eternal power and Godhead. If it has not been taught to you and it have not been revealed to you concerning the oneness, it's the greatest mystery of all times. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. The subject in that particular verse is God. So we know that he was in the body. He was the anointed. He was the Christos. He was the anointed flesh of God. So he says, whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So remember, and then go back, and St. John, when he was saying that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what is the truth going to make you free? It's going to make you free from error. It's going to make you free from following a false prophet, because no lie is of the truth. So they don't, part of the truth is still a whole lie. So too many people, they say certain people have the Holy Ghost, where I know of people that have gone on to be with the Lord now, they had the Holy Ghost. And especially one evangelist that was teaching Bible class on the night that I got saved, August 11, 1976. I never forget it. So she was saying she had the Holy Ghost for 6 years. They used to try to preach. They taught against the apostolic church and tried to say it was false doctrine. But God got her attention. So she went and got baptized in the name of Jesus, got filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, when he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So I'm thoroughly convinced. And so not only her, but a number of people. My father in the gospel, his wife, another evangelist. So it was at least four of them that had the Holy Ghost before they got baptized in the name of Jesus. And so if you have the Holy Ghost, then you need to open your heart up to the Holy Ghost. Because there's no two gods, there's no three gods, there's only one. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And so people, they named certain people Jesus only. They don't understand who he is. And in the book of Revelation, he says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify these things. I am the root and the offspring of David." You know, the bright morning star, that he's going to come. You know, the Spirit said, "Come." "He that saith these things," and his last words, he was saying, "Surely I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his works shall be." So the devil knows that the truth is in Jesus. This is what Paul was saying in the book of Ephesians when he was talking about to the church in Ephesus and teaching them in the book of Ephesians. And he went on to let them know that you about knowing the truth and all. And then he let them know that the truth is in Jesus, because he prayed a prayer of, "But their eyes of understanding be in, open, and everything that they should know, and about the body, the fullness of him that filleth all, how we were quickened. We were dead in trespasses and sins. How we are saved through grace, by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And then he goes on to let them know, "Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Know the love of who? The love of Christ. He is the anointed one. And that's why he was saying, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So he was saying so much as he was instructing the people of God, "and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. It's a shame even to speak of those things of them, done of them in secret." Then so he was going on to let them know about redeeming the time and all the things that you do, and letting them know that the truth is in Jesus. So this is so very important. So we come to this time where so much going on, and nobody, but it almost feels like very few are talking about the coming of the Lord. You hardly ever hear that. So, I mean, there's definitely something wrong with that picture, because we are living in the last days. And so we should know that time is short. When Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and so he was letting them know way back then that time is short. And so now, even, you know, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So even we have the violence that's in the land. Just like Cain slew his brother because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. And John talks about that. So there's so much violence, so much killing. And so why is it? Because like they say, if the devil gets your mind, he will possess you and you'll do what he says. And I mean, even some confessed murderers would say they weren't thinking about doing nothing. All of a sudden they got a thought. Like one man a little while back went to a mall, and he went there and he was just hell bent on, for lack of a better way to put it, he was looking for somebody to kill. So I think he threw a child off of the escalator, from what I remember about the story. So, I mean, that's evil men. You know, seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So got these old men, you know, these some old rich guys, rich, poor, whatever, you know, all different classes of people involved in this human trafficking. There's all kinds of things going on. And then where people's minds at, you know, they keep telling people, and I mean, I can't comprehend why. Where is your mind at when you got your babies with you in the car, that you forget that you got the little babies in the car with you? Nobody, they didn't forget about us. You didn't hear about this stuff 40, 50 years ago. You hardly ever heard of this. So, I mean, what is wrong with people? There was a man the other week, not long ago, he went to work. I think last week he actually went to work. I'm told he dropped off his 3-year-old, from what I understand about that story, and he left the two twin babies in the car and went to work for 8 hours, and he comes out and finds them dead, and he forgot that they were there. I mean, really? How can you forget you got the babies with you? I don't understand it. But it's the time that we're living in. And so this is what we're talking about. So too many times people, they don't want to acknowledge the fact that there is a God. And so they're against God. You know, some try to say, you know, we are gods and all that. No, he wants us to have his mind. That's what Paul said. We have the mind of Christ. And so that's what we should do, is have the mind of Christ. And so all of these things that I have been talking about over all of these series, according to the scriptures. And so we're in the latter times. People departing from the faith, and we're talking about evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In the days of Noah, there was violence. So you got people, even in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you got people just stirring up violence, because you could say things. It's a way that you say a thing and do it. So the bottom of it is the devil. you got to look at what it is. How do you do it? You could stir up strife, like the Bible said that a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So it's a way you could do a thing. It's a way to say something to stir up anger, and so it's the truth. And you know, it stirs people up. So we say righteous. We have a term we call righteous indignation. So yeah, you do well to be right, to be angry at things that aren't right or at injustices, as we say. You know, but the Bible tells us to be angry and to sin not. So some things we don't want to deal with, but just the fact of making mention about something is racist doesn't make you a racist. You're pointing out something. So, I mean, it's the truth of the whole matter. It's the whole world, John said, lieth in wickedness. So this is what he is ending up talking about in his letter, that we are in the last times. And Peter actually talked about scoffers coming, walking in their own lust. Where's the promise of his coming? Yeah, ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. And he goes on to say, this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Here's his will, not willing that any man, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that going to happen? No, it's not. That's his will, that they do, but it's foreknowledge, and we can see in his word that they are not. And so John, like we say, about being free from error, and so he goes on, this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So that is where I left off at here in this particular passage. So he goes on here concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. You need not any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath been hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So this is what there is a lack of today. People are not looking for and hasting to, as Peter said, the coming of the Lord. So this is why Apostle Paul let them know in the church at Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, for the Lord, you know, don't be, people should, you know, they were just, didn't have hope, they thought. And so they were wondering what was going on. And so Apostle Paul encouraged them, and he was saying, I would not have you ignorant, to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. So that's talking about the people, the saints of God that are in the graves, that, you know, the dead in Christ, they have been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. They have fallen asleep. They're in their graves, as we say. So he goes on to say, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he's going to make it plain what he's talking about, sleep here. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. There it is again. Okay? So the Lord, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So those that are asleep, they're dead, but they're asleep. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we're talking, so we know, as we talked about in the signs, about wars and rumors of wars, all these things you're going to hear. So since I last did part 16 of the This Only Believe series of end time signs, we've had earthquakes. So that's one of the signs. He was talking about there are going to be earthquakes in diverse places. So there are all kinds of different weather scenarios, things that have happened in the weather. And then back in the winter, like we had a Arctic winter, you know, in the northern states, that is, depending on where you live. They had a rough winter. And so now it is, like one weather man says, we're cooking 90s and 100s in a lot of places. So we just go from one extreme to the other. But the earthquakes that they had, I believe it was on the 4th and 5th of July, and then they had aftershocks. I don't know if they had another one, but, I mean, it was a number of aftershocks, but at least two earthquakes and aftershocks. And so not only, you know, people always be talking about the big one, you know, like it's such a secret and all that, but the big earthquake is actually going to be during the tribulation period. There's going to be no getting back to normal after that, and after that particular earthquake. And so this is what the Bible is teaching us and letting us to know. So as we going on here in the lesson today about the apostles, John warns the church, the last days of Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists. So what is the point? Jesus said, if you're not with me, you scatter, you against me, you know. And so are we, the question is, when I say we, I'm talking about the church triumphant. Are we doing what he says? Because the mission has never changed. The method is can change. Just like now, we have technology like never before. People are doing live videos. They're doing live streams, as we call it. They're doing Periscope. They're doing Facebook Live. They're doing Instagram Lives, Blog Talk Radio. There are other platforms that people are doing, just like I'm doing this Blog Talk Radio, which I think started in 05 or 06. So, I mean, this is these things are correlating right along with the scriptures when in the book of Daniel says, talking about knowledge shall be increased. So these things are happening, letting us to know that we are in the last days. So John goes on here, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. So what is the world? The world, the system, is Antichrist. When he was saying, love not the world, as before we got to this particular text, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the Father, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him, in him. Then he goes on to say, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is when he goes on to say, little children, this is the last time. And ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And so we didn't really recognize. So there are so many things against God. People don't even realize that they're doing. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You hate the one, cleave to the other. you hold to the one, despise the other. And he went on to say, you can't serve God and mammon, and mammon is money. Some people rather be working, rather be making money. God is not against you having money. He's charged them to be rich in this world, that it be not high-minded, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He was talking about them to be ready to distribute. So in other words, if you got it, nothing wrong with you having it. Help somebody else. So we know some that are doing just that, and that one is Bill Gates and his wife. They have foundations where they are literally helping people. So he goes on here, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what is the appearing? That is the coming of the Lord, what we just read about. We call it the rapture, the catching away. The Lord going to descend. He's so high and lifted up that he's going to descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. He's going to do the same thing that he done before. When he went to the grave of a Lazarus, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And so he's going to call everybody's name simultaneously. The dead are going to get up and meet him in the air. That's why he was saying, the hour is coming now is when the dead in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth and live. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, they that have done good to the resurrection of eternal life. It's in the fifth chapter of St. John. So we know our time is getting away. So, but he goes on here. This subject here is about the Father, the love of the Father. So he goes on to say here, when he's going to appear, we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So there are so many things that are antichrist. So what is antichrist? You know, that not believing. So that's why Jesus was saying in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, I believe, and when he was saying God is able of Abraham to raise up stones, of these stones raise up children unto Abraham. When he uses the terminology, he's not talking about no stones. When they said rocks, if these would hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out. He's not talking about literal rocks. He's talking about the condition of the heart. That's why it's in the book of Ezekiel 36:26, I take out of you the heart of stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about no rock. This is rocks. He's going to have a church. He's going to have a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And so we got to realize what's going on. These are all signs. This evil, these so many things going on, just senseless murders, just senseless people spewing out hatred, signs in the atmosphere like the earthquakes and things that are happening, letting us to know that we are in the last time, and the Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of what time it is. So we need to believe. Don't be anti, but believe. So the worst thing you could do is not believe. So, you know, why couldn't Israel enter in? So what's Romans 15:4? Whatsoever things are written afore were written for our learning, but we through comfort and patience of the scriptures might have hope. So what did they do? In the book of Hebrews, he says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we want you to know. And so as we ask the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? The Holy Ghost is a gift. It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Joel 2:28. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old man shall dream dreams, Your young men shall see visions upon your handmaids and servants. Will I pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So don't let it go, but make sure you go to an apostolic church and have the preacher to baptize you in the name of Jesus, and the Lord will promise that you will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. God bless you.